Hi, everyone. I'm Marie Biancuto. Thank you for joining me. I'm here to talk with you today about HIV and breastfeeding. Many healthcare personnel who work in the United States know that the Centers for Disease Control, that is the CDC, recommends against breastfeeding if the mother is HIV positive. With so many healthcare workers working overseas, either in a temporary volunteer capacity or maybe in a more permanent situation, I have to wonder if they're all aware about the recommendations and rationale from the World Health Organization about breastfeeding by HIV-positive mothers. And because American mothers have become more and more aware of means to reduce the risk of HIV transmission through milk, breastfeeding advocates working here at home often find themselves in the very awkward position of teaching that breastfeeding is contraindicated here if you're HIV positive, but needing to explain why. And certainly, by the way, in case you are studying for the IBLCE exam, you should be expected to be tested on this. So the purpose of this program really is to help you to counsel mothers, and if you're working outside of the United States, to apply the World Health Organization's principles and recommendations for infant feeding in the context of HIV. Now, remember that throughout this presentation, when I say breastfeeding is risky or breastfeeding is contraindicated or some such thing like that, I'm talking specifically about HIV. I am not talking about breastfeeding under a healthy circumstance. Alrighty, I hope that on your handout by now, tell me you all have your handout in front of you because you're really going to need it for this particular program. There are 10 questions that I have labeled as a warm-up. I would like you to take a moment, please, to give the true-false answer to that little exercise. So please shut off the audio. Make sure you do that and then come back in a moment, please. Okay, then. Presumably, you have done your true-false exercise, and I'd like to move to just talking about some basic concepts related to HIV and AIDS, starting with, what is it? Well, human immunodeficiency virus, HIV, is the virus that causes AIDS. HIV is a retrovirus. So that brings me into explaining what retrovira are. And viruses really can't reproduce themselves. Instead, they're dependent on taking over the machinery of the human cell in order to reproduce. Now, these retroviruses are also called slow viruses. That's because they progress very slowly. HIV virus infects and destroys cells of the immune system, most notably the T helper cells. HIV enters the body through the mucous membranes or the bodily fluid, and that would include, of course, human milk. So HIV, then, you need to understand, is transmitted through a number of body fluids, but it is also transmitted during pregnancy, during delivery, and postnatally through human milk. And forgive me if I say that again this time, but I probably will. There are 4 stages of HIV. We'll unpack those a little bit later. Those stages are window, seroconversion, symptom-free, and AIDS. So then, as promised, let me unpack those. The window is the first one, and this reflects the window of time between the time that the person's infected and the time when the antibodies actually develop. When people are tested, the HIV test looks for the antibodies, not the virus. Seroconversion is when the body begins to develop specific antibodies to fight off the antigen. During this period, a person may have flu-like symptoms, and they're thought to be very infectious. In the symptom-free stage, even after antibodies have developed, A person may be symptom-free for months or even for years. It's actually quite unclear why some people are free of symptoms for longer periods of time. The virus, however, slowly attacks the immune system and kills off the healthy immune cells. As immune function is diminished or maybe even destroyed, the condition leads to AIDS. Which, by the way, this is the explanation for why people have other infections when they have AIDS. All right, so finally, I've mentioned AIDS, and here we go. It is, in fact, the final stage. It occurs when the T cell count drops dramatically and the person has one or more opportunistic infections. AIDS is the name given for a variety of diseased manifestations caused by the HIV virus. Like other syndromes, AIDS is a set of symptoms that indicate or characterize a particular disease. So that, I hope that that is helpful, and I'd also like to remind you that there are a lot of vocabulary words that you may or may not know. I would really like to encourage you to make sure you're very, very clear about your words. And to that end, I have given you a word find, and I'd like to ask you to do that, please. I've even given you some clues. All right. Transmission of AIDS and HIV, or should I say transmission of HIV to AIDS would probably be a better way to say that. Actually, some 15 to 25% of children born to HIV-infected mothers get infected with HIV during pregnancy or delivery. About 15% of the children get infected through breastfeeding. HIV-1 can be transmitted prepartum, intrapartum, or postpartum, obviously, through the milk. Experts and authorities, including the CDC and the American Academy of Pediatrics, state that breastfeeding is contraindicated for women living in the United States who are HIV positive. Now, notice that the CDC is an American organization. The AAP is an American organization. And outside the U.S., where there is a lack of available formula or lack of clean water or lack of a number of other things, then that's a serious problem and other recommendations can be made. Let me just buzz through the modes of transmission for you. Those would be sexual contact or contact with body fluids, sharing needles and or IV drug use, receiving contaminated blood products, mother to fetus from the placenta, contact with blood and body fluids during delivery, and finally, human milk. I think it would be useful for you to understand the basic factors that increase the risk for transmission if the mother is HIV positive. Those would be recent infection with HIV, advanced HIV infection or AIDS, breast conditions such as clinical or subclinical mastitis, abscesses, and even cracked or bleeding nipples, longer duration of breastfeeding, mixed feeding, and mouth sores or thrush in the baby. Now, by the way, I did not just pull these out of my head. All of these were in the many pieces of literature that the World Health Organization puts out. So what are some factors that decrease the risk for transmission if the mother is HIV positive and breastfeeding? Well, as you might imagine, antiretroviral drugs given at the time of birth to the mother and the baby. And by the way, someone who came to my comprehensive lactation course just very recently said that she has worked in Africa many times, and by now lots of people have antiretrovirals. As a matter of fact, she even wagered that it was the majority. They have the antiretrovirals if they're HIV positive, certainly not that the whole population would, but I think you know what I meant. Okay, safer feeding practices. And the WHO, the World Health Organization, specifies commercial infant formula, home-modified animal milk, for example, from a cow, goat, buffalo, camel, sheep. Now, again, you're imagining that this is not a United States thing. I don't know of too many people that have buffalo grazing in their front yard. Exclusive breastfeeding. And this is a piece that some people don't understand. Exclusive breastfeeding actually decreases the risk for transmission if mother is HIV positive. Wet nursing by an HIV negative woman. Expressing and flash heating. I'll talk about flash heating a little bit later. And use of pasteurized donor human milk. I think it's important for you to understand a little bit about what the authorities have to say about transmission of HIV and from the breastfeeding aspect. The World Health Organization is emphatic that breastfeeding or not breastfeeding is a matter of risk and benefit. It's not a matter of one size fits all, all right? They say that a major way of looking at risk benefit is through the AFAS criteria, and I'll talk about that a bit later. They say that the best authority for determining the risk benefit is the national or subnational public health authorities. So, for instance, if you're in the U.S., that would be the Centers for Disease Control. At this point, the CDC says that the risks of breastfeeding far outweigh the benefit of replacement feedings, which is another way of saying formula, for mothers and infants living in the United States. I would also encourage you to look at the CDC's Universal Precautions for Prevention of Transmission of HIV and Other Bloodborne Pathogens, and I have given you the link for that if you wish. Now, what about OSHA? Well, OSHA says that gloves are not required for the routine handling of maternal milk. However, gloves should be worn in situations where prolonged handling of human milk is likely. And by the way, I would think of that as being something like if you worked in a milk bank. For those of you who need a code word, the code word for this session is Africa. Code word Africa.